Hallelujah. We thank you this evening, Lord, that we can come here and gather in your house. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you, Lord, for this worship team that has led us right into the refreshment of your throne room. We thank you, Lord, that there are many hearts here tonight to hear the word of God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that awesome worship?
Amen.
You know, when I was preparing to come here this afternoon, I got into the shower and I had a wash, and I thought that is going to refresh me. But now that I've worshipped the Lord, now I'm really refreshed. Thank you for all the visitors that have come across to come and visit us. Oh, there's something wrong here. Okay, it's a little bit yellow, but just bear with that. Thanks to all the visitors that have come here. Appreciate you guys coming to support me. And this is my home. This is my home, and these people here are my family. And I thank my family for being here too, as well, this evening. And I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. And just listen to a couple of things that I want to say. I want you to imagine being a king or a queen. I want you to imagine that you are royalty. And royalty wears a crown. I want you to imagine now that you have a crown. Imagine taking care of it. Imagine polishing that crown to a nice, shiny luster. Keeping it clean. Imagine placing it at night on a soft, velvety cushion. How lovely it must be to wear a crown. A thing made of solid gold. It's adorned with valuable jewels and diamonds. Imagine placing it on your head every morning. Imagine it being placed on your head right now. You can actually feel the weight of that solid gold and all that glittering splendor upon your head. I just want you to imagine that for a moment. Okay, you can open your eyes now. I trust that today's message is from the Lord. And it's at the correct time. A crown is defined in the dictionary as follows. It's a decorative object. It's shaped like a circle. And it's worn on the head of a king or a queen, especially for special ceremonies. Other crowns you get might be a ring of leaves or flowers that's woven together. And someone might have won a crown like that in a contest or with some sort of award. It is a reward or a mark of honor and victory, especially representing a championship in sport. A royal or imperial headdress could be a cap of sovereignty, and also it may be called a diadem. Clearly, a crown is something that imparts splendor and honor to the wearer. But what does the Holy Bible teach us about crowns? And as I searched for scriptures on crowns, I was quite alarmed to find out that there was a lot said in the Bible about crowns. Can you read that? I put this up here for two reasons. One, it's quicker to go through the word. And please, read it out loud with me, because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. In Exodus 28, the Lord God Himself instructed Moses on how the priests must wash and clean themselves and how they must be dressed. Let's read from Exodus 28. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So here was God ordaining the priesthood to wear a crown. It was a thing of great beauty and value. It was made of solid gold. But with it came a responsibility. That responsibility was for Aaron to carry the iniquity, the actual sins of the children of Israel. The sin that they would commit against the holy things of the Lord God Almighty. With rights comes responsibility. As the high priest, he would come into the presence of God and make offerings on behalf of the people once a year. And with that came the responsibility of remaining himself holy to God. As a priest, Aaron walked around all day with this big gold plate on his forehead, proclaiming holiness to the Lord. When the people saw him wearing that, they knew he was a man of God. They knew he was ordained to wear that thing. That wording, holiness to the Lord, was engraved in that plate. He couldn't rub it out. It wasn't like a chalkboard. It was there, always, for everyone to see. Today, we are ministers of the Word of God. Every one of us. Not just people that get to stand on a platform. Every single one of us. We've got the ministry of reconciliation, and it's our job to reconcile God with people. In our everyday lives, do people recognize us as ministers of God's Word? We don't have to walk around with a plate this big on our forehead saying holiness to the Lord. But in the lives that we live, I'm challenging you as much as I'm challenging myself. Are we proclaiming holiness to the Lord God Almighty? Are people recognizing us in our daily lives as ministers of reconciliation between man and God? My life doesn't. I fall short in many areas. But I know Jesus Christ, and he will stand in the gap for me. He also gives me the Holy Spirit to help me to change. I want to have those words engraved in my life, so I cannot rub them out. I want to ask God to help me polish my life so I can shine brightly for him and proclaim holiness to the Lord. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is speaking about two crowns here. The first is an earthly crown that is given to victors, people that are victorious over something. It is a type of glory and honor given to someone who runs a race or races a race and wins. The crown is made from thin branches that are woven together. They typically use a bay tree or a pine tree or celery or some sort of plant material. And it's a natural substance. It tends to wilt and wither. Just as the honor and fame of being first in a certain thing wilts and withers, it is not permanent. It is temporary. It's a temporary crown. You're only the best. You're only on the top spot of the podium until someone faster comes along. You're only the strongest boxer till someone flattens you on your back. You're only the fastest 100-meter athlete till someone overtakes you. It is temporary. Paul urges us to strive for an imperishable crown, a permanent one, with vision and certainty of our final goal and destination, that being with our Father God in heaven. The aim of the Christian must be certain, not like a boxer who misses and strikes the air. Paul writes to a friend of his, Timothy. He writes a farewell letter to him. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is speaking about the crown of righteousness. It's a crown reserved for those who live righteously in the sight of the God. Paul fought the good fight. In there's a Greek word there, agonod zomai. It means to struggle. You can't win a prize if you're not struggling. You can't beat someone in a fight unless they oppose you. You cannot run a race and win if there's no other competitors. The thing is, your opponents are there to take away that prize from you. Okay? You have to be challenged for that prize to be worth something. Okay? An adversary throws everything against us to prevent us from claiming the prize. Do you agree? You're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to say hallelujah. Okay, you're allowed to speak in church. Paul withstood against all odds. 5 times he got 39 lashes from the Jews. Those were his buddies. 3 times he was beaten with rods. They even stoned him once. He was even shipwrecked 3 times. All that over and above his normal hardships, his normal pain and suffering, his normal cold and not having a place to stay, his normal hunger. That's what he faced. What do we face? We don't face challenges like that. Will we be able to stand if we had to face a challenge like that? Pray that we do. When we have passed away, what will people remember us for? Will they say, so-and-so was a great guy or a great woman, great man of God? Or will they say that they labored fervently to live a righteous life in the eyes of God? What will be written on our tombstones? What will be our epitaph? Something cliched that normally adorns graveyards? Or here lies someone that fought the good fight? James 1 verse 12 says this: blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings death. Temptation, trials, and tribulation, it's all part of our Christian life. But we are called to endure all things. Since Jesus Christ walked on the face of this planet, people hated him. When he was a little baby, from then they wanted to kill him. They eventually got it right. For a while. He will still be hated by this world until the end of time. As the people who bear his name, we will also be hated and persecuted. God keeps all his promises, and he promises a crown of life everlasting to those who endure and are proven acceptable under the duress of temptation. Just remember as well in the word that it tells us that he will provide a helper to help us endure all things. And he will not make you endure anything that you cannot handle. When we die, we leave all the worldly things that we own behind. All our possessions, money, property, anything from this world remains here. There's nothing that we can take to heaven. But one thing. Philippians 4 verse 1 says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I just want to support that with another scripture from Thessalonians. We, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. There's only one thing we can take with to heaven, and that's other souls. We can take other people with us to life everlasting. It's one of our responsibilities to take other people with us. It's our responsibility to usher people into the presence of the Lord. For this, the Lord has crowns of joy in store for us. There is nothing nicer than leading someone into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't had that opportunity yet, I urge you, try it. In Jesus' name. There's still another crown I want to speak about. 1 Peter 5. Please read with me. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So that text is specifically addressed to shepherds, people who lead. There's many people here that lead a church, a cell group, even in your own home, if you're a father, a husband, you are the head of that home. You are the shepherd of that flock. It can be applied to all of our lives in that manner. In a way, we are all responsible for shepherding those around us in one way or another. And as a reward, we'll receive not a crown made of laurel wreaths or gold or jewelry, but you receive a crown of glory from the Lord. There's a nice photo up there. And just something struck me when I looked at that photo. And it's this. I just want to share it with you. You can see the sheep following the shepherd. And this struck me, that from this point of view, it looks like the shepherd has his back turned on the sheep. He doesn't. He has his face turned towards God. So if you're following a shepherd, don't think that he has his back turned towards you. He's not looking at you. Know that that man is following God. And if he's following God, you follow him. In Jesus' name. The last crown I want to mention today is the one that is the most special crown. This crown is saved for the grandest of affairs. A crown that is only used for a special occasion. Perhaps something that is only going to come across once in a lifetime. A crown that is stored up for only the best, only the purest, and only the most righteous of righteous. This crown does not perish like laurel wreaths of fame of sporting heroes. It does not shine with a polished luster of solid gold and precious stones. It is even more special than the crowns made of glory. This is a crown that was fit only to be worn by one man. The special crown was stored up until that special occasion came along. Until that moment, here on earth was just right. The correct person had to come along that would be able to stand up for the honor of wearing this crown. This person would also have to be able to bear the responsibility that came with this crown, to carry the sins of the world. There was none that could do this, so God himself had to send somebody. When he sent the right person that was capable of doing that job, this crown was then custom made to fit by the experts of their profession at that time. It wasn't made to gently rest on the head. It was made to be firmly embedded into the scalp, causing the most excruciating pain. This crown did not have a gold plate in the front proclaiming holiness to the Lord. The person who wore it led a life of holiness to his father. Although this crown was made from natural plant material, it has already lasted thousands of years. I believe it will be remembered for eternity. This crown didn't shine with a polished luster of gold or jewelry or diamonds embedded in it. It shone and glistened with the blood of Jesus Christ. This crown was worn by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. He wore this crown of shame and mockery so that we, all who sit here today, can get crowns in heaven. When we think of all the crowns that lie in wait for us in heaven, incorruptible crowns, crowns of righteousness, crowns of life, crowns of joy, crowns of glory. Let's not forget who made it possible to achieve these crowns in heaven. I do not believe that we'll be able to wear a crown before Jesus Christ. Only He is deserving to wear a crown in heaven. Only He is worthy to receive such things. But nevertheless, it's written in God's book that we are going to receive crowns in heaven. And I believe that, as the scripture says, we'll be able to kneel before Him and cast our crowns before our Lord and Savior. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one that's done it all for us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You took that crown for us, that we can get all these wonderful things, Lord, because You did what You did. And we just want to thank You for that today. And I just want to make a call out to everybody here tonight that perhaps in your heart you're feeling that you must just thank the Lord. If you feel free, do you want to come forward and we'll pray with you? Just a prayer of thankfulness to the Lord for what He has done for all of us. Please feel free to do so. We love You, Lord. We praise You and honor You and worship Your holy name. We thank You that You wore that special crown so that we don't have to, Lord. We thank You that You're the one that changes hearts, that You prepares hearts. You are the one that makes all things come to pass. In Jesus' name. Pastor Keith, can I ask you just to lead us all in a prayer of thankfulness and gratitude for what the Lord has done for us.
Dear Lord, we worship You tonight. Father, we want to thank You for sending Your Son. Lord, we look forward to crowns of glory. We look forward to one day in heaven hearing You say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we thank You for the day that Jesus went to the cross wearing a crown of thorns for us. We thank You, Lord, that even though we were sinners, we were still sinners. He took the pain. He took the shame. Lord, this morning we even heard that He took our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses upon His body. And while He was mocked and scourged, even hated, wearing that crown, He was setting in place the most amazing and wonderful salvation. The most amazing and wonderful healing. The most amazing and wonderful eternity for us here. And for that we are grateful, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You that we have life in You. We have something to look forward to. Lord, one scripture here said, we look forward to that time when You will return. We look forward to that time when we will reign with You in heaven. Let us be those kings and priests that you've paid the price for us to be. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we go, it's wonderful to see you all here tonight. Really, please come back next week and week. I'm just joking. Glenn, thank you. We're really proud of Glenn. We're proud of what God is doing in and through his life. And this is just the beginning. I remember my first sermons. It wasn't so easy then. The nerves. But you stick with it, Glenn, because God will, you'll be amazed at what God does. I just want to ask tonight, is there anybody who's never experienced that crown, who needs that crown, who needs to take advantage of what Jesus did for us on the cross? Let's just close our eyes. If there's anybody like, I'm not going to call you forward, just with our eyes closed, just raise your hands and we'll pray. Is there anybody like that tonight? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay, I don't see any hands going up. Then, Lord, we thank you for the service. We thank you for this weekend. Thank you for what you've done in this house. We thank you, you've got a plan and a purpose for us. And, Lord, we are being that church of irresistible influence. We're being that church that is growing and thriving in Christ Jesus. And you've got a plan and a purpose for every person here. Let us go out in victory. Let us go out just pondering and thinking about what Glenn said tonight. There's a crown waiting for us. It's worth persevering. It's worth pushing through. It's worth doing what it takes. It's worth being mocked. It's worth making you our number one priority. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.